Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dumisani, my brother, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you, Zama?
Very well, thank you, my elder. How are you doing?
Great, great. I'm doing okay. How's your day going?
My day's fantastic, man. Great day and quite active, I must say. Yours?
I like the way that you're so enthusiastic about your day. Yes, my day has been good.
Well, man, it's a Monday. What can we do here? And
what can we do? You know, it's actually something we should be grateful for, though.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. We're still early in the week, and perhaps we'll feel a little, tired towards a Friday when we're, thinking about the Sabbath. Yeah. Now we're going to be talking about a VOP lesson, a conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, simply put, a prayer is a conversation with God, but it can be difficult to speak to someone we can neither see nor audibly hear. So what gives us the assurance that there is actually someone on the other end of this conversation? So, Dumisani, today we're going to be exploring this, and at the end of the day, we're going to have, together with the listeners, at least have some answers. So can we be sure, firstly, that, God is listening when we pray?
You know, that's an interesting one, yeah? I mean, I like how we're looking at it from a point of view of a conversation. Very much like the way that we have conversations nowadays. And, one of the things that we miss out on is the fact that when man was first made, when we were first created, that was God's proper intention from the first place, is that he always wanted to dwell among his people, just have straight communication. And that's exactly what he did, was just straight out communication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sadly, because of sin, we've lost that. I mean, well, at least we lost that face-to-face communication with God, But then he has put that in place where we are still able to communicate with God, and we're able to talk to him and have conversation with him. Now, what assurance do we have of this? How can we be sure? Is I think one of the best places we can go to, if you don't mind, is Luke 11 verse 9. That's one of the places where we can actually see the assurance. Luke 11 verse 9 would help us, but
okay.
I think we would start off at 29. Okay, so this is what I'll ask, Zama. If you can find Luke 11 and verse 9, I'll just read out a text from Jeremiah chapter 29.
Okay.
As you're looking for Luke 11.
Okay, Luke 11 verse 9 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you."
Now, it's an interesting thing. If you don't want to talk to someone, or if there is not an actual communication going on, why would you make such a bold statement to say, ask and you will receive? So there's another verse in Jeremiah chapter 29 where God talks about hearing our prayers. He says, this is from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12 and 13. It says, "You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You see, there's a condition there, yes, where he says, "You will find me when you search for me with," what does it say? "All your heart."
Mm-hmm,
but I love the part in the middle over there where it actually says, when you actually pray, you will come to find me and I will listen to you.
Mm.
And he also then goes on to say, Jesus actually goes on to say and makes the bold claim that when you pray, it's not only that you're praying and it will just be heard, but it will also be answered.
All right. But lovely. Now, what assurance did, Jesus provide to us so that we know that he will hear and answer our prayers? And by the way, okay, go ahead with this one. I'll come to the next issue that I wanted to address now.
Okay. The thought that what assurance did Jesus actually give that you will hear? So the assurance that Jesus does give us, or I shouldn't say did give us, because it almost sounds like then it's like he stopped answering prayers. But he actually says, this is the assurance that I do give you. And it's not only the assurance that we get from just maybe our own answered prayers, which I guess is one of the strongest testimonies, but also the promise that Jesus does give when he says, you know, when you pray in my name, the Father will hear you. But also he says that when I like there's a verse that where Jesus actually says that not only does he doesn't just talk about how we can pray, but he also talks about how I have prayed for them who have believed in your word when he's praying to his Father. So the example that we see where Jesus is also praying to his Father, I think it's John chapter 17.
Mm-mm.
You see this assurance that indeed he's not doubting that his Father is hearing him.
Mm-mm.
He knows that he's hearing him. But he also then goes on to say that I pray not that they would be taken out of the world, but then I pray that you would be with them in it, but also that they would be one with us.
Mm.
And when he gives that assurance, he also says that I have prayed for them. So it's not only just a point of you pray and that's about it, but he actually goes on to say that I also continue to pray for them who have believed in me because of their testimony.
Mm.
So it's an assurance that it's not just about Jesus saying that, no, pray for yourselves, just keep praying. But he also goes on to say that I also pray for you.
You know, Dumsani, we're having a lovely conversation now. Eh? You talk, and after you talk, I also talk, and you know, in between, like you say yes, yeah, to basically make me aware that you are still there. And, and it's a natural process of conversating. Now, if you would talk, for instance, for a good 2-3 minutes and you're not hearing me saying yes, yeah, yeah, you'd probably say, you'll probably ask, are you still there? Because you're not hearing.
Yeah.
You're not hearing anything. Yeah. Now, it seems very unnatural that one is going to just talk to the air, and then in their heart, they feel that, okay, the conversation has happened. Yeah, make it make sense.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, you know, I like the fact that that's such an honest question, because I think that's the one thing that we struggle with, not only as people wanting to believe, but also as believers as well.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's the thought of, okay, but then, you know, I understand prayers. You're talking about prayer as if it's a two-way conversation, but how do I know God is actually speaking back? Because I know what's going on when I'm speaking, but what about God's response to me in return? Do I actually hear God's? Am I supposed to hear God's audible voice? Am I supposed to, you know? And one thing that we do know is it's not one of those things where when God actually says we should pray, it's not one of those things where he's saying talk to yourself. No. He's saying, actually, I think one of the best places we can see when you're talking about the conversation, is it conversation that God desires, or he just wants us to just be speaking to the air? Now, one thing we should look at, let's go to, I think one of the best places to go to is Revelation 3, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jesus now speaking in Revelation, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, that's an interesting one. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So it's a conversation. But then where it says, yes, I hear, but then how are we supposed to hear God's voice in return, or how are we supposed to hear him speak back to us? That's another thing where we have to understand that it may not necessarily be an audible voice, and oftentimes it won't be an audible voice. But remember that in our conversations, it's about, it's about your words and my words. Isn't that so, Zam?
Yeah, you see now, and I decided to keep quiet for a bit so that...
yeah, exactly. And I noticed how strange that sounded.
Because I wanted to keep quiet so that you can get to a point where you're worried if if I'm there or not.
Like, Zama, are you still there? No, because I had the same temptation to do the same thing to you, and then I was like, no, let me leave that alone. But then,
you see, but then you I'll say.
But then I'll definitely say this: we know about my words and God's words towards me. We know that God's word is, we find God's word in the scripture. Another place where we find God's will revealed, it may not necessarily be, it may not always be in, because there are, of course, those ones that we know about, which are kind of the miraculous ones, which is like the dreams, the visions, which does happen, which we'll probably talk about in another VOP lesson. Mm-hmm. But then, and maybe even an audible voice, because we even see this from the Bible where people actually hear the audible voice. But let us not ignore the fact that something that Jesus said, he said when the Pharisees said that, you know, you come over here and you want, and you know, we want you to perform a miracle for us to know that you are the one. But then Jesus said that, but you have Moses and the prophets already. They speak and they give testimony. So I give the same, I would roundabout say the same right now. If we do not, if we keep just going to God in prayer and it doesn't draw us closer to God's word, it would be, that's where now we start to kind of, we will not hear the voice of God. For when God speaks, he has given us his word. And indeed, I'm not saying that then after you pray, the next verse that you see is going to be an answer to your prayer necessarily. Mm-hmm. But when we seek him, we know, and we know that he is the one who wrote out his word. When we pray, let us also go to scripture as well. Let's not just pray and not go into going into and studying out God's word as well. Because if we do, we may feel like it's a one-sided conversation, but God also wants to speak to us as well. It's not one of those things where he wants to hide from us. He wants to speak to us. So we should get a hold of his word as well. Get a hold of scripture, make it part of our prayer as part of our prayers. So yeah, it's a, if I can put it, I would put it in such a way.
Yeah. Now, thank you for that. Now, you know, God has got a lot of things that he's doing. I mean, he's running the entire universe, you know. He's not running only the world, you know, as we know it. I mean, you know, the countries with 8 billion people with different stuff. Yeah. He's running the entire universe, the planets and everything else. Now, considering that he has got an entire universe to run, surely prayer can be just in cases of emergency, really. And then we probably handle, you know, our day-to-day mundane things on our own and just go to him when things get a little complicated. Is that the right assertion?
So to say that God would be, it's almost like saying, okay, God would might be a little bit too busy to hear our prayer, I mean, to handle our prayers at the same time. Let's just make it short and keep it short. And you know, make sure that, you know, God, we only contact him in emergency cases or when we really, really need him. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting thought. Maybe that's what we would think, but it's an interesting thing when God himself says that we should pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now, a lot of us like to go like to the pray without ceasing part, which is very important in this point. But also the fact that it says, for this is the will of God. This means that it's not one of those things we are forcing upon God when it comes to prayer. It's one of those things that he's saying, no, come to me. I want to hear from you. Even if you go to Matthew where it says, where Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's. I love the way that the Bible portrays God, who continues to seek out his people and actually wants to dwell among us, wants to hear from us, he's not just here for emergencies. He's here about all the tiny details in our lives. And and one of the verses that I think displays this very well is where the Bible says that he knows the number of hairs on our very head. He knows the very number, and he knows, and even with, along with that, he knows all the stars and he knows them by name, and yet he knows the number of hairs on our head. And what, and if it was that he's too busy for us, the plan of salvation wouldn't have happened. It would have been one of those things where he's too busy running the entire universe. But we matter to him on an individual level so much that he died for us. Now, you put your life into something, you pay attention to it. And God has shown that he pays attention and wants to hear from us. So, yeah, that's where I would put it.
Right. Now, Dumisana, I really thank you so much for that. I really want us to now get to a close with this very important, question. Mm. And I know that the response will be, as important. Now, you mentioned something about praying without ceasing. And I really would like you to just, break that down. Does it mean that we must be constantly on our knees with our eyes closed, talking to God?
You know, that's an interesting one. I used to think that maybe that's what it means when it says pray without ceasing, that maybe we should be always on our knees and close our eyes. But notice then, how would we be able to live a practical life as well, you know? But the whole point of saying pray without ceasing is the idea that, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, Zama, but where you have a certain, where you've listened to a certain song, and that song is in your mind almost all the day long.
Yeah, happens.
It happens. Now, maybe I can put it like this. If you've ever been in a relationship where you're actually in love with someone, and in the back of your mind, they're constantly there. Not that you're not functioning throughout the day, not that you're not doing your work, but then in your mind, you constantly have them on your mind. This is the kind of thing relationship God seeks out with us when he says, pray without ceasing and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Not that we should just be repeating certain words. No, not just like constantly repeating certain words, for we're also told not to make vain repetition. But the idea is this, that prayer is a lifestyle, that in the midst of all of our daily life, in the back of our minds, we still have the presence and the glory of God in our thoughts, the character of God in our thoughts, the mind of God in our own hearts. But that doesn't come naturally to us. That's why we're supposed to ask God to say, help me to keep my mind stayed upon you, that you would keep me in perfect peace. No, it's not about just kneeling down. And remember, even when Peter was sinking in the sea, he didn't kneel down in order for him to pray. He just cried out to Jesus. He just shouted. He just said, "Help!" He just said, "Save me!" And that was with arms flailing and eyes wide open, I suppose. But it was the idea. It's with the idea that in all the duties of life, in all that we're doing, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths.
Beautiful, beautiful. Dumisani, thank you so much, man, for coming through and actually unpacking this in such a wonderful way towards us. Blessings to you till we speak next time.
Thank you so much, Zama. You have a brilliant, blessed and wonderful day.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.